I don't.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm. Welcome to welcome to Self is Necessary, and I'm not sure if we're live looking at the back office. If anyone can hear us, could just put some feedback into the chat. They make changes periodically through here, but right
it
now the microphone. Lou, you should be going.
Say we're on the air, so I don't know what that means.
Right. The microphones used to be red when we were off, and they were blue when we were on, and now they're both red. So I just wasn't sure. But introduce anyway, because you are at Self is Necessary, where we talk about exploring self and how critical it is if you want to tap into all of your creative powers to manifest the life you were meant to experience. You really need to take a look at yourself and what you're doing. Today we hear from Delray J. Bantz, the visionary owner of the Life Learning Center of Self. Delray is a life strategist and an open channel. And after some unusual early life experiences, she began to immerse herself in an in-depth study of all the world's main religions, successfully pulling the universal core truths from them. And today, she teaches us how to use that truth to better touch our feeling. It's from the feelings that we're creating our experiences. And Delray holds classes in small groups as well as one-on-one sessions. And she really excels at taking you on a journey to yourself. You can listen and talk live to Delray on Wednesdays at noon Central Time. If you're on the web with us, please feel free to type a message into the chat box. And if you're on the phone, you can raise your hand by pressing the number 1 and hopefully I'll see that you've done that. Right, with color coding, you know, I'm not sure that I will see that. I'd like to think I will see that. You can read Delray's blog over at goldenwordsofself.com. And you can also interact with Delray and several of us from Life Learning Center of Self over at the Facebook page, facebook.com/Life Learning Center of Self. And hello and Happy New Year.
Hello and Happy New Year to you, too.
I had a
very quiet, wonderful New Year's. So it was really, you know, joyful in that manner. Anyway, how was your New Year's? I got this.
Well,
go ahead.
No, go ahead. You got to
I got to be very quiet and yet be in Times Square and share New Year's with those million people that were there.
That's great. I had an interesting New Year's. Mine too was very quiet, but there were a few ruffles as I've got some adult children doing some transitioning, and that brought some pieces for me to look at. But I also got to, I have another son, and his wife and daughter were both in a family-oriented New Year's Eve show, a live performance. That was one of those early, you know, ball drops at 8 p.m.
Yes.
Early kind of things. And the show was absolutely wonderful. It was one of those, it went so fast, I think most of the audience was like, what? No, that can't be the end. That was just a warm-up. We want more. So that was really fun. That was a great way to wrap up 2014 and move into 2015. So you know, I came home early because I didn't go to a late show then. many of those performers in that early show were then in a late show. But it was a wonderful way to bring in 2015. And I feel like we've got some magnificent changes coming up for us in 2015.
We do. And the earth herself is completing a cleansing that she's been going through. So, you know, we're going to have some rumblings through 2015 and you know, maybe 2016 too. But even in all of that, the way that the planet is aligning itself, there are light workers that their light is going to start shining in a way because of their alignments, and in that it's going to be able to, they themselves are, you know, the masters who are truly working on the truth of the planet, are going to be holding a light that's going to open major doors for the people on the planet, the God beings that reside here. So it's going to be exciting in that manner. And then, of course,
yeah.
as more people awaken themselves, that's going to help the planet do her cleansing in the greatest way possible.
Because you mentioned this, let me ask you, you know, you talk about light workers, and sometimes I think people get some real lofty ideas about what light workers are, but wouldn't you say light workers can be found anywhere, everywhere?
On the street corner, absolutely, anywhere and
yeah.
everywhere.
What comes to mind is
well,
last
and they
week,
might not,
Go ahead.
No. Well, they may not even realize they're light workers today. They may just
exactly.
be waking up to the understanding, and all of a sudden they're going to be in the right place at the right time. They're going to say the right things. They're going to help the right people. The choices they make is what's going to open a door. And they may never even be recognized other
sure.
than themselves. So when I talk about light workers, it's a very individual walk, and yet it will harmonize with all the rest of us on the planet. And so that's what I'm really, really talking about. They, you know, some of us have been working a lifetime. I have studied my entire life about the things that I'm working on and teaching and sharing with others. And other people will just wake up and poof, they will be in the right moment at the right time. And then some of us who are supposed to wake up won't. So, you know, it's an individual choice. It's how we've walked on the planet up to this point. It's whether we want to take the discipline at the right moment at the right time.
Sure. I love that. One of the reasons I wanted to, you know, highlight that was because of people having an idea that a light worker is, I don't know, somebody they might see
a
on
special,
TV.
A special
that's not
being.
Right.
I think that one of the things that we really need to come into an understanding is that each and every one of us are light workers. Truly.
Sure.
And it simply is whether we are going to dedicate ourselves to the internal walk that's necessary, or whether we have walked to a place where we decide that it just is what it is and nothing will change that. So it really depends on the dedication and the work that we want to do for ourselves.
Right. I was driving down the road on my way home from work last week, and I have to go on a certain road that often has, you know, the people standing with their cardboard sign,
right.
looking for cash or dinner or
yep.
whatever it is. But
okay.
I'll tell you, I had a wonderful conversation with a pretty shiny guy. And it occurred to me when the light turned green and my conversation ended because the light turned green and I had to take my left turn. That's
yeah.
like, now that guy's bringing something to this corner. Now, I don't know that he knew that, and I'm sure a lot of the cars that are busy trying to pretend he's not there were not necessarily picking up on it, but in his way.
There may be times that I give to those people on the street corners, and there's other times that I don't, and I really do go by what my heart is feeling, and if I've got a couple of bucks in my ashtray, you know, so, because part of the problem is so many of us don't carry change with us anymore, you know, because of that wonderful debit card, but that doesn't mean that I ignore the people on the corner. They're God beings.
Right.
And so
I'll
send them love and joy, you know.
Yes, right. Me too. And sometimes, depending on, well, what my heart is prompting me to do, I'll roll down the window and talk, you know.
Exactly.
It's easier for me than to know I have nothing physical I can hand them to support them one way or the other.
Right.
But it just is a... There are people, we're all, like you said, we're all light workers, and whether or not we are using this lifetime to.
Yes, and that's the
work,
piece. Each one
work.
Of us will decide whether we want to this lifetime or not, and that's not going to, you know, say to the universe that we're not living up to our potential. So
Right.
You know, we've chosen to learn about different things, and that's the uniqueness about being on this planet, that we have the right to choose what we want to do and what we don't want to do. The reason that I am here is for those of us that are on the planet that really feel stuck and would like to have the change in their lives, the understandings, learn about discipline. That's what I'm here for, is for those people. That doesn't mean that someone else cannot be my best friend and have no care in the world of changing who and what they are. That's not what this is about. And so that's where I stand on that.
Right. Well, and one of the things that, you know, this leads really well into what we're talking about today, because you were talking sometime in December over on your blog about when you started this exploration, how enthralled you were at the thought of having any question you had.
Exactly.
About anything. And
to get an answer.
Yeah,
yep.
You recognized you had an avenue to ask a question and to get the answer. What a gift that was. And that led to thinking about questions that were best asked for you to have that change in your life. So, you know, it was part of that journey of you communicating with beings of the fifth dimension and moving in your heart closer to the truth. So, but, you know,
one of the things that I've always tried to be aware of is gratification of the gift that is being given. And an energy, and when I say a gift that's given, understand it's an energy that's pure. And whenever we are sharing something of ourselves, whether it's in a physical manner, whether it's in our speech, whether, you know, it's sharing anonymously, we still have to receive an energy back. And so the beings that I was working with, I wanted to honor not only the living God being who is letting me use their vehicle as these channel beings came in, but also these channel beings. And so I didn't want to waste their time on frivolousness. And one of the things that all of us get caught on, and I understand, today I'm a different person than when I started, but even when I started, I recognized there was something other than trying to find out how to get out of my financial difficulties that I had to focus on. I knew that the financial difficulties was what was scaring me and not allowing me to take the time and the energy to sit in contemplation and study, because I was in that fear that if I wasn't working two or three jobs, I wasn't putting in the energy to support my family. I had found out totally different. The more I spent on learning how to open up my heart to the universal truth and how to ask a question of another divine being, whether it's a corner with a cardboard box, or a small child, or someone who has studied their entire life on a specific subject, that I had to be in honor of the gift that I was receiving so that the energy stayed equal. When you are sitting there, you will have opened your chakras up to a place where you can then hear. And that in that hearing is when you then can decide, do you have the strength in this moment to take that next step, that choice that's going to support this decision of understanding and learning about self. And the more I went into the pureness of the study and not to get myself out of financial strain is when I got myself out of financial strain. And so it is so hard to talk about when somebody has been sitting in fear about the flow of money or the pain that's in their heart right now, because of the fear really puts you in a place where you're not standing in. It's very difficult to stand in gratitude. But it's in that gratifying of the other person who's sharing time with you, whether it's of this plane or another plane, that really will allow the lesson to come forth. Did that answer the question?
Yeah. So when you talk about, you know, the fact that there are ups and downs when you're truly trying to move into your heart, into the truth. Would you say some of those downs really are when we resist taking that step?
Well, you know, the thing is, you're always taking steps. I think one of the things that I'm spending a lot of time on the blogs about what a life decision is versus choices. And people are really, you know, we have a habit on this planet of using terms to mean multiple things. A decision is not the same as making a choice. A decision is that thing where ultimately we are accepting the fact that we walk on this planet as a God being. The choices that we make either support that decision or supports our fears and our pains and our hurts. And that's where we have to start coming into an understanding, because we have routines that we have built along the way that support the choice to be mundane, in fear, in pain, with disease, with unluckinesses, being alone, all those things. And we can choose, and we choose every single day to accept these random thoughts about ourselves and about the world around us, which will put us back in the routine of our old life. Otherwise, you can make a choice to remind yourself that if you take those random thoughts that are going through your head, know that they're fears that you have to look at about yourself. Put them on that scale. And please, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to my blogs, because or read my blogs and listen to the radio show. I talk a lot about putting things on the scale, making choices and decisions, where your responsibilities are, your accountability. So as I'm talking, you can catch up. But you want to know that once you make the decision, you've made the decision. And I hear so many people say, well, I don't know if I made the right decision. No, what you don't know is when you're choosing in your daily moment-to-moment times to support the old you or the new, I'm going to walk in the truth of who and what I am on this planet, and that I have talents that need to be awakened and allow me to stand in universal truths. So that's where I think we need to spend a lot of time, and that's how our heart is going to come forward, and we're going to be able to see the gratitude of being on the planet and who we're interacting with. You know, it can be the person who's creating the most contrast for us who really is giving us the greatest gift. Because in that contrast, have to look at, why am I being affected by this? Why am I being tweaked by this? Why do I have hurt feelings? And that's what I did in the very beginning. I didn't look about how it was that I was going to change my financial piece. I was looking at and asking questions about the people who were in my life, and how come when they would say this, it affected me this way.
Sure.
And I would go on for the next week, and I would, you know, fall down almost immediately, because in the very beginning, most of us can't hold love long enough to be able to give ourselves the opportunity to see, oh, if I would do this instead of falling into my old story, I would actually be choosing that new life versus choosing to support the old life.
Right.
Did that leave you?
That really is... when you say it like that, I gotta say, it seems like, well, of course we would choose to be in the truth.
No, we don't.
But we don't.
We do not.
And
no.
And it seems, you know, just on the surface of it, that seems like really so insane. But when we start to understand the habit we've created of letting things outside of ourselves dictate how we feel, rather than recognizing what feeling really is, you know, it's a little bit easier to understand how this train got off the rails in the first place, because it just, you know, when we're talking about it like you're talking about it, it's well, why wouldn't everyone make the decision and then make the choices that line up with that decision. But it just isn't
because
that.
Because without true counsel, without having someone who is already standing in a place of some knowledge of what we're talking about, the earth is a very seductive, elusive lover. And it's very easy to get lost in the fact that today this bill collector is calling and I don't have any cash to pay for that.
Yes.
That bill. And that's scaring me. It's very elusive here on this plane that very call could be the very thing that changes your life. And you're choosing how you are going to interact with that person, because the person who talks to you isn't the one that created the debt. We're forgetting who created the debt. If we stood in the gratitude each and every time we paid back something that we had, if we remembered that we used that credit card and that credit card bought these fancy toys, and in those fancy toys we want to have our electricity running because then we can play with those toys. But so often we want to write a story that person's bugging me because they keep calling. And if we would just switch that, and that's why we need our mentors and our guardians for a while, until we understand that that's a story that we've written. And somewhere in that story, we're ashamed. And we have to look at, why are we ashamed? Because we wanted those toys. Because it was somewhere in that shame that cut the flow of the energy of love. And that love is where our needs sit. And that need is what's being answered by the universe. But if we're sitting more in shame than we are in the love, the universe is going to bring to us experiences that create shame. Now, having a bill collector call you 10 times a day is kind of a shameful thing. So,
right,
and I make it as, you know, easy as I can by using the bill collector.
Right.
But it
right.
takes time to break down those pieces that we've written along the way, the stories we've accepted, whether we initially started the story or we heard it from our parents or our siblings or, you know, and so it is. That's where our accountability and responsibility comes from. When we're being tweaked, we take the time in gratitude, not in angst or in anger or distrust, but in gratitude. Thank you for this information coming to me today, because today I see it. Let's not sit in how long it took us to get here. Let's sit in the fact that today you got it. So do something with it today. Make the choice to accept the knowledge that's coming to you. Make the choice to make that knowledge a wisdom. You make knowledge into wisdom by taking those daily steps in a conscious manner that I am going to walk on this planet in love and as a God being.
Sure.
That's what we have to do.
I love it.
And it's not a lofty thing. It is really, once you get in the habit of doing this, it's a very easy, very loving thing that you do for yourself every single day. And that's where you're making a choice. You make a choice to either love the experiences that you're having, even if they feel icky to you. Because it's in that icky that you will break down and look at things and go, why am I still feeling this about this particular energy? It's not the person. That's where our responsibility comes in. You've got to stop blaming the outside world. You can't say, well, that's the way it is. No, that's not the way it is. Because the minute you change how you feel about something, the whole story takes on a different light. All of a sudden you can see, well, there was a gift. There was an understanding. Look, I was actually walking on water right there, and I was so clueless that I wasn't even aware of that. And I, you know, you and I and all of the people that have worked with me, we have brought up where they walked on water and they had not even, and that's my way of saying, you know, walking in an enlightened manner, walking on water, you know. Jesus probably would tell us he never actually did that, but you know. It feels like it, and so that's why I use that term. It feels like, wow, this was magical.
Yes.
I went to this whole experience, and it could have affected me in such a different manner, but it didn't, and I survived, and I feel stronger for this, and I feel more in love with my life today. Well, isn't that magical?
And it really is magical. It's amazing how we, you know, create stories about how things should be, and then when something shows up that isn't that, that doesn't match that, we get all ruffled. But if we would breathe it in and see the crack in our story and go, maybe things are like this too. And it can be such simple things. I was talking earlier today about an experience on Christmas Eve, and family was gathered together and we're playing a game. I think, you know, it was that Barkle game with the dice. And there's food on the table, treats on the table. And my son asked the 8-year-old grander, she had a pile of some sort of treat in front of her, and my son asked if he could have one, and she looked at him and said no. And you could feel all the adults at the table bristling because, you know, we have these stories that you should always share, and if anybody asks and you have it, you should give it to them. Right? Some variation of that story.
Yeah.
And he made kind of a pouty face. You know, he was a little taken back that she said no. And yet, you know, we're dealing with, she's 8. We're dealing with kids that, you know, they don't play the guilt game. They don't feel it.
Yeah.
They don't, but they'll use it against us.
Oh, well, they use it.
you know, when so-and-so asked if they could have some of mine, I gave them some. And she got out of her chair, walked around the table, took his face in between her two hands and said, that's because you said yes. But when you asked me, I said no. And then she walked back to her chair.
Isn't that wonderful the way wisdom can come out of those beautiful children?
Yes. And, you know, still, there was a challenge there, and there was some muttering afterwards about this. It's probably because she's an only child and she just has no sense of share. Rather than getting the message that we are at choice in every moment, and no harm, no foul, and this is how it works. And, you know, I've thought about it further because it was just such a poignant example of a little one standing up and knowing how to say yes or no, or playing, practicing their yes and no and taking care of themselves and their, you know, what they need. And I thought to myself even further that, you know, my son gave some of his away and then he didn't feel satiated. Well, he expected the younger one to share some of hers and do the same thing he had just done. Why would she do that? And of course she didn't, because she is who she is.
Right.
So, but, and I share that only because I want people to, it's just even those small things, those stories that we hold that this is how it should work. And therefore there might be something wrong with someone who doesn't play the game the way you've decided in your head. It works because that contrast shows up and we dismiss it. That's what I'm getting at.
Exactly. And especially, like you were explaining, especially the adults, they're not being guardians. You could see that that homeroom wasn't being a guardian, and actually the young child ended up being the guardian. And that's where we have to not judge. And I know people walk around, they say, well, I don't judge. But you do. You are judging. That information that came from that young girl was just pure information. And somewhere, somehow, we have been putting on a weight, a counterweight, on when information is shared. And I have been doing a lot of contemplating on that in the last 30 days because I'm sort of semi-isolated. I'm starting to get myself back out in the world, but, you know. And so
yeah, that's been a minute. We've got to wrap this up.
Oh, my God. We haven't gone through that much time. Anyway, let's not put weight on information. Let's hear the words through our heart, no matter where they come from, whether it is an 8-year-old girl or an 80-year-old man, or all of those God beings in between, because you have to stand up for the fact, make the decision that you are walking on this planet as a God being, and allow the choices to come to you to support that. That you, as a God being, sent out to the universe for information. Do not judge where it comes from. Accept it take it into your contemplative state and then allow it to be a part of your physical walk. You'll be amazed at how your life changes.
Thank you. That is wonderful. And on that note, we are done.
Well, thank you, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Yes. And I can see it in the studio here. The recording has started. So thank you. Thank you. Anyone listening, however, if you want to connect with Del Rey, please go to her blog at goldenwordsofself.com and join us over at facebook.com/Life Learning Center of Self. Thanks, Del Rey. Talk to you later.
I love you. Bye.